Hello and welcome to the Inside Hour. I'm Dr. Len Horowitz.
And I'm Sherry Kane.
We come to you every week on bbsradio.com, and this week we have an extremely special guest. Sherry, just share a little bit about our sponsors, and then let's get to our special guest, Jane Burgermeister from Europe.
Well, I want to thank HealthyWorldStore.com for your amazing products, keeping people healthy throughout the season. Visit HealthyWorldStore.com. Also, partner with us at HealthyWorldAffiliates.com. It's really easy. You can just go sign up. It's completely free, and you get discounts on the products. To get additional discounts on the products, become a Healthy World Ambassador by going to HealthyWorldAmbassadors.com. Also, if you are a musician, go to 528records.com and upload your music. You'll be eligible for 60% royalties on any music that anyone donates for our music library. So go to 528records.com. Also, we have 528radio.com. It's 24-hour listening. So please help us today by donating as well. If you can go to 528radio.com, we need to keep our servers coming. So, and you have amazing music to listen to. If you have a record collection, you can also upload it to 528records.com.
So every week we cover the worst of the worst news and the best of the best news on the Inside Hour. And this week we're really honored to have with us, calling in from Europe, Jane Burgermeister, who you may know is the most advanced journalist in exposing H1N1 and H5N1 swine flu frauds. And Jane, like yours truly and Sherry Kane, has experienced a number of the goons, if you will, the trolls that have tried to defame her, and yet she has stood very, very courageously, continuing to advance her outstanding journalism, covering as a whistleblower from Europe what is taking place in Europe concerning bioterrorism, biological weapons of mass destruction, and in fact the white-collar crimes and criminals behind these frights. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Jane Burgermeister. Hi, Jane. Welcome to the Inside Hour.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Len. Hi, Sherry. Nice to be on your show.
Well, it's an honor to have you here. Jane, just share a little bit briefly about yourself, and then share a little bit about how you got started in dealing with investigations of flu frights.
Yeah, well, I was just a regular kind of small-time reporter working for medical journals, including the British Medical Journal and Reuters Health and The Scientist here in Vienna, Austria. And I'd moved on to actually renewable energy when, in 2009, I happened to find out that Baxter had contaminated seasonal flu vaccine with the deadly bird flu virus in its facilities here, and nearly triggered a global bird flu pandemic. So when I found out that information, I realized that must have been virtually for sure a deliberate attempt to start a pandemic, and I filed charges in a desperate effort to stop this happening again and to instigate an investigation. And that's how it all started, Len. In 2009, just a few days after I filed my charges, the swine flu pandemic hype began in Mexico, also not so far from a Baxter facility. And by then I was aware of this whole machinery of forced vaccinations in the background, coordinated by the World Health Organization. I'd become aware of just how bad the pandemic vaccines were. And I started to warn people that if there was a pandemic emergency declaration by WHO, they could be even forced to take these very damaging vaccines.
And then, as a result of you reporting, what happened?
Well, I mean, same kind of things happened to me as I guess happened to you. I very soon lost my job. I was told it was a breach of confidence after I'd gone on coast to coast to give this information. I lost my little job as a renewable energy correspondent. And I was just smeared. The internet was filled with all these sort of rumors about Michael Jackson and smear campaign against me instantly. Up to then, I'd only been present in the internet with my little science reports. But within a couple of weeks, the internet was flooded with all this kind of, frankly, rubbish about me. So nobody could find my credentials. And 2010, after I'd kind of, what I'd said had been proven to be accurate, the governments of Norway, Ireland, Sweden, Finland had all confirmed the vaccine was damaging, causing narcolepsy and other autoimmune diseases. Three attempts were made to psychiatrize me, so all of them failed, but it was a very, very unpleasant time for me in 2010.
I can appreciate that. We've been through a tremendous amount of harassments and defamations, and that it's a standard, what's called COINTELPRO operation, to mount these kinds of disinformation and propaganda campaigns against legitimate whistleblowers. And it's all done for commercial gain. It's done, in fact, in the United States, it's called antitrust, to keep us as alternative healthcare professionals and as whistleblowers that are trying to bring truth to light and reel in the illegal activities of the pharmaceutical industry, that we are consistently harassed, defamed.
And the most damaging thing, I think, Jane, is that people out there don't know what to believe. They don't know who to trust. There's so much of the disinformation going on. And so when these people come out and they try to discredit us, then there's certain people that may believe certain things, and then all of our research just goes down the tubes for people that don't really know us or don't have any idea on who to trust, because it seems like the people who get the most media coverage are the ones that are the most trusted, even though they shouldn't be, but they are.
You know, and Jane, you've experienced this kind of attack too. What is it that you think, as a journalist, they are accomplishing by their constant degrading and defaming, as well as discrediting everything and everyone, even themselves?
Well, I have to be honest, Len, and say, when I look at the facts, I don't think they're accomplishing a lot, because in 2009, very few people in Europe actually took the swine flu pandemic vaccine. I think it was 3% in Austria, about the same number of people who took it in Israel, 1% in Italy and Spain, and about 6% in France and Germany. And these are a very tiny proportion of the overall population. So astonishingly, people were willing to look at the facts, at the evidence, the documents, listen to people like us. In spite of the incredible propaganda and hype coming from the mainstream media and even parts of the alternative media. So I think that if you look at it from that point of view, we have been incredibly successful in protecting lives, in helping people to become aware of a very real threat to their health posed by these vaccines. And of course, Big Pharma has lost billions through this failed pandemic vaccine campaign, lost its reputation, and is extremely angry with people like myself and yourself, and have redoubled and tripled their efforts to eliminate us and marginalize us. And I don't think it's working. I mean, it's personally extremely unpleasant to experience it. But if you see the effect it's having on people's actions, it's definitely not working.
I agree. And those people that they're sending really discredit themselves. If you look at any of the people that they've sent to try to come up against us, all of them have not been credible themselves. So if you start to look at that, now if you have people like Alex Jones, for instance, out there who are attempting to discredit us, if you look at someone like that out in the media, there are people that tend to believe what he says just because he has a louder voice. He's over more networks. But once people start to research the truth, they realize that they can't trust him at all. And so that takes a little bit of research on people's part. A lot of times people just don't spend the time to do the research. But you're absolutely right, Jane. The swine flu fright was not successful. Their marketing campaign was not successful in 2009. And I know that they're coming back now, again, as I understand, with another campaign. Is that correct?
That sure does seem to be the way, Sherry. And once more, Alex Jones is playing a role in hyping this virus as he did in 2009. Back then he was saying on his radio show that he would go and hide in his ranch if this bird flu virus escaped. You know, he was really fear-mongering and scaremongering, and he played down the danger of the vaccines and has continued to do that. He didn't invite very, very effective critics of the vaccine on InfoWars, and a member of Alex Jones's team just didn't ring us and then lied about not ringing us and the reason why the interview couldn't go on air. And if you follow his way of reporting the pandemic, basically he just rode the wave that had been created by the alternative media. He linked, for example, to my website, The Flu Case. He took my audience, and then he just brought this audience to believe that certain figures like Wolfgang Wodak and the PACE inquiry by Paul Flynn were really the spearhead of the criticism of the pandemic vaccine campaign. He channeled them in this direction, but at the end of the day, what happened with PACE, the Council of Europe inquiry, was a dead end. It didn't address the issue of the pandemic damage at all, and it didn't address the issue of force, the quarantines, the restrictions on our travel, the suspension of our rights, which are all part of the US pandemic plan and European pandemic plans. And that's why we're back to square one. That's why 3 years after this horrifying, damaging vaccine campaign, we could once more face the same danger as 2009, and Alex Jones is once more hyping this new bird flu virus.
Right. It's because he doesn't offer any solutions. And if you tell people, hey, you know, the vaccinations are bad, this is what's in them, this is the side effects, just don't take them. Do your research. But he doesn't do that. And I can figure out why he doesn't, because Len and I were on Jesse Ventura's True TV about 2 years ago. We were on there for the Gulf oil spill disaster. And I know that the producers, while we were on the set, they told us, you cannot talk about Big Pharma, and they told us you could not talk about Goldman Sachs. And we said, well, Big Pharma and Goldman Sachs are a big part of the research we did on the Gulf oil spill. Well, they said, sorry, those are our sponsors. So if you know that Alex Jones also is very close with Jesse Ventura and that team, he's always on his show, it would make sense that Alex Jones would also have Big Pharma as his sponsors as well.
Which is one of the things that we actually proved. We showed you that one of Alex Jones's sponsors, which is a competitor for OxySilver, which I still hold is the world's most powerful silver hydrosol, it's the most advanced, because it increases the resonant energy of the healing vibration of all nature, is 528 hertz frequency. Ultimately, he was taking money as he was banging Homeland Security and FEMA and the officials therein. He was actually taking money from corporations that were having these individuals, most advanced medical personnel, including the Surgeon General of the United States, involved in the board of directors of the Clifton Mining Corporation that was advancing what was called SilverSol. So we have a SilverSolFraud.com, this whole saga depicted and evidenced materially, where we show you that he's on the take from Big Pharma sponsors and banging Big Pharma and Homeland Security in the process. So that was one of the things that concerned me. The other is this issue of where Alex Jones has his critics, and those who have been attacking us have their critics. We have our critics, and ultimately it's a psychological operation, because it really discredits virtually everything and everyone. So even though we did a great job in alerting people to the H1N1 swine flu fraud, and even though we diminished significantly the numbers of people who were going to get intoxicated and depopulated from vaccinations, still, they're still on a roll. They're coming back again with additional bioterrorist threats. Their media has been in place to continue the facade and the charade. And ultimately, there's so much disinformation out there and so much discrediting that's going on that it seems to me that you have to be a pretty solid and staunch investigator to continue to dig and find out these truths and then know who to trust and then basically because of that save lives.
Well, the mainstream media is really covering it up. For instance, the HPV vaccine that's killing a lot of young girls. A lot of people don't know that they're killing a lot of young girls with this vaccination. And the reason why they don't know it is because it's not reported on the mainstream media news. That's because the mainstream media is also sponsored by Big Pharma. And so they're one and the same, actually, if you study the Partnership for New York City, which so many people have not even looked into. The Partnership for New York City really connects the dots between the banksters, the Big Pharma, and the mainstream media. And we've exposed
them.
And
so, very important.
And so as long as you don't know those connections out there, folks, this is why you're missing the big point. If you start to study it, you'll realize why you never hear on the mainstream media all the dangers of vaccinations and why you don't hear all the reports of all the deaths of all the young girls and children and babies that are dying because of vaccinations.
Yeah, and you have people like Rupert Murdoch, whose family is intimately connected to Merck Pharmaceutical Company. His son James Murdoch is on the board of directors of SmithKline Beecham. They are the main vaccine producers. His family, also Elizabeth Murdoch, runs the Women's and Children's Hospital in Melbourne, Australia. So there's a heavy investment not only in the media mogul Rupert Murdoch from News Corp that runs everything from Fox News to HBO and Wall Street Journal to others, for example, Reuters. Europe's top virtual mouthpiece for British Secret Service is Reuters. And the fellow there who runs Reuters is a Merck Pharmaceutical Company director as well. So you've got mainstream media intimately connected to Big Pharma, and that no wonder you're not getting the truth told concerning the risks to public health. Jane, what is your concerns regarding the potential for the recombinations of the materials that Baxter had? You had found that Baxter had H5N1, the bird flu that kills 60% or so of the numbers of people that it infects, and the potential for that recombining with the H1N1 or some other flu that's circulating. Are you concerned about that?
I have to be honest and say I'm not, Len. I think this is a lot of hype. The reality is, if the globalists really create this deadly virus, and if they can get it to spread it in the real world, not just in their labs, then it's going to get out of control and they're going to be victims of it themselves. I think the main danger remains the vaccines. These are something the globalists can control, Big Pharma can control who takes these vaccines, they can control the amount of damage done by them, and what they want, I think, is to repeat the 2009 scare and just find or trigger an incident which will persuade people that terrible pandemic, there's this deadly virus circulating around the globe and they need to stampede and get the vaccine. This is what they tried to do in 2009. Thank heavens it failed. We now see the damage in Europe. Four governments have confirmed that the pandemic vaccine caused narcolepsy, an autoimmune disease, mainly among young people. 50,000 young people in Germany are supposed to be affected, according to a report in Die Welt. Every sixth one is a child. The average age is between 15 and 25. So we're seeing how young people are the ones who are suffering most from this pandemic vaccine, as predicted, because of the way it behaves. These reports are hardly appearing on the mainstream media. They're not appearing on the Alex Jones show. People are getting the false impression that the virus is much more dangerous than the vaccine yet again.
Well, I can appreciate that position, and I pray that you're accurate in your prediction. My concern, however, is what happens now where potentially we have an economic collapse both in Europe and the United States. And, you know, it's always been where you have economic crises and wars and matters affecting public health and safety, such as food shortages and water shortages because of the economic depressions, that you've had hideous outbreaks. That's been traditionally so throughout history. My concern, and I wonder whether you would also share this, is that if they wanted to literally reduce, let's say, 60% of the population fairly rapidly, and there certainly is some economic incentive for doing that, because if we're engaged in now economic hardship and you have potentially revolution happening in the streets, so there is an incentive to reduce populations because smaller populations are simply easier to control. Would it not make sense that because they hold the cures themselves, such as the advanced silver hydrosols? I personally don't worry about any of the flu for two reasons, because number one is I feel that the Holy Spirit in me is so powerful that I can literally ward off anything by prayer and faith. Number two is I have the most powerful silver hydrosol on the planet. So that's likewise in the hands of NASA. It's likewise in the hands of Rupert Murdoch and David Rockefeller and the Rothschilds and all the most powerful global elite. They have that access. And same thing with Rothschild wine. Most people don't understand it costs $50,000 a bottle of vintage Rothschild wine. Who can afford that but the global elite? So I don't believe that they operate like we do, nor are as susceptible as impoverished people. So is that a possibility, Jane? What do you think?
Well, I think you could be right. They, as individuals, could have all these measures to protect themselves. They live in their island, they're well-fed, their immune systems are strong. But I think if they're looking at the globe and trying to control the collapse of society, the collapse of populations, I don't think they want this uncontrollable virus out there, because it could start killing their policemen there, whatever, you know? So I think that they're looking to try and collapse it in a way they can model and predict what the outcome is going to be. And this is vaccines. Vaccines, you can say, and we do see now, can damage people in a certain way, causing narcolepsy, brain damage, and sickness and illness. So from their point of view, I think that's a more efficient way of doing it. And that's why they constructed this monolithic vaccine machinery in the background in the year, from year 2000 onwards. I think there are a lot of problems with these viruses. You know, they don't circulate so well in the wild. It's very difficult to infect people with them. Even this new paper or whatever hype about the virus allegedly engineered by Osterhaus and Ron Fouchier describes a experimental setting where ferrets are actually more or less given huge swabs of virus and forced to inhale it in there, inhale it in this way before they're infected, and they survived the whole thing. So we're pretty strong. Human beings are strong. I agree that when people are weakened by stress, by lack of food, and worry, then they become much more susceptible, not just to infections, but also to these vaccines. People who are weak state, like, for example, in Africa, when they have to take these poisonous, toxic vaccines, then they really are rapidly damaged and suffer from the consequences. That's my take on it, Len.
Have you heard about the Promise software, Jane?
Sorry, what's that, Jane?
The Promise software?
Yeah, there's a couple things. Yeah. There's an advanced computer capability to analyze and predict well in advance the number of recombinants that viruses can create and the type of pathogenicity and its ultimate deadly effects on what percentages of the population.
Actually, this software was stolen from people that worked within the government, and then it was investigated by a journalist. His name was Danny Casolaro, and he was attacked by some of the same people as us, Jane. And he was murdered. They'd made it look like a suicide. They cut his wrists really deeply. He never liked to get a blood test, so he wouldn't have killed himself that way. But he did warn his brother that he was getting calls late at night. We believe it was probably from some of the same people attacking us now. But he was just a journalist who stumbled upon this when this couple came to him and said that their software had been stolen, and they wanted a journalist to investigate it. And he And they investigated it. Well, what was really, really important about this software was that it could predict pandemics. Allegedly, it could also predict how many people the virus could kill. They wanted to predict how to calculate it to make it worse. It's also been implemented in Obamacare. It's called Promise as well.
Yeah, that's a couple of things that are of interest. We've had a Supreme Court ruling in the last week, which mandates for allegedly constitutionally as a tax required health care via Obamacare, which is called Promise. And the software that Sherry's talking about that does all this for the healthcare industry is likewise called Promise. We don't believe that that is a coincidence.
Are you familiar with that software, Jane?
I'm afraid I'm not familiar with the software. I'm a little bit familiar with the whole idea of, you know, recombination and mutation. I think in 1918, the Spanish flu pandemic, as far as I understand, this was also triggered by vaccinations at that time. And obviously, if you inject people with a virus into their bloodstream or whatever, you're going to get mutations, more and more virulent mutations emerging. And one of the most virulent versions was supposed to have been found in the Arctic, I think, by Jeffrey Taubenberger in the 1990s. He was a U.S. bioweapons scientist who went and dug out the body preserved in the ice of a victim of the Spanish flu, and he took a portion of her lung tissue and tried to reconstruct this virus. And this is supposed to be the deadly bird flu, the swine flu, whatever. But the reality is, they don't seem to be able to get this virus to work. Look at 2009, the swine flu killed, according to the World Health Organization, just 18,500 people. Now, that is tiny in comparison even to the number of people who die from the seasonal flu every year, according to the World Health Organization. So their virus was, thank heavens, a flop. I'm sure they would have wished it had been virulent and created more of a scare or whatever, but they failed. And now what seems to be happening is that the Big Pharma has got control of the World Health Organization's early warning, pandemic lab systems. They can hype this virus at a much earlier stage already, and no doubt try to find the most virulent combination and put it into the vaccines. I still think that the technological abilities of this globalist are not as great as they keep trying to claim, as we saw in 2009.
Do you believe that they want people to get vaccinations, not possibly to kill them or to give them the flu, but to give them diseases that people will become dependent on their drugs, on Big Pharma's drugs, or even not right away, but maybe later on down the pike, it could cause cancers or things like restless leg syndrome and restless eye syndrome and all these different
new diseases
that need new medications that they can recommend, therefore sell new drugs. Is that a probability that that's really what they're out to do?
Well, I mean, I think they have many aims. One is to depopulate the planet. The other is make a profit while they're doing it. And while they are making money out of selling now the drugs to cure the narcolepsy that they caused among so many young people in Europe through the swine flu pandemic vaccine, thousands of young people now have this brain disorder, which means they can't regulate sleep and waking hours, and they need drugs to keep them awake. And this is more money for the pharmaceutical companies. And this is just one disease caused by the swine flu vaccine. There are many others that haven't been publicized or recognized yet. And I'm sure there's going to be an enormous increase in the number of people with cancer and various other diseases as a result of this vaccine, although relatively few proportion took it. And this is all profit for the Big Pharma. They make huge sums of money. There was a book in Germany written by a Dr. Frank, I think his name is, describing how Big Pharma is constantly lowering the criteria for blood pressure, for this, that, and the other, in order to sell people drugs which are actually harmful. So it's a gigantic multi-billion dollar scam for them, making people sick and ill.
Yeah, that's for sure. For those who don't realize what is in vaccines that might cause all these horrible illnesses profitably for the drug cartel, you've got foreign RNA, foreign DNA from bacteria, viruses, fungus, yeast, chicken embryo, bovine fetal serum, monkey kidney tissues, and with smallpox, it's cow pus. And those are the active ingredients. The passive ingredients include the petrochemicals that include also the heavy metals, aluminum, formaldehyde, formalin, MSG, monosodium glutamate, that causes people to have vasospasms and headaches. You have also these other ingredients. Besides squalene, which was associated with the chronic fatigue immune dysfunction syndrome, you had nanoxynol 9, which is a spermicide, which is credited in many areas by many researchers as being associated with the sterilization of human beings. So this is the challenge that we have with untrustworthy vaccinations. And I'm also concerned, Sherry, and I know you are too, what the legislation that was just passed here in the United States, or actually the go-ahead for the legislation by the Supreme Court, deals with vaccinations as well, although very few people are talking about it, including the injection of a microchip. Sherry, what do you know about that?
Well, the new Obamacare health care, which is going to become mandatory that everybody gets health care, it's going to be really bad for a lot of reasons. Not only is it really bad because they're really making you become dependent on them for how you live your life and your health, but also employers are going to have to supply all of their employees now with health care, and more people are going to be losing their jobs because employers are going to say they just can't afford to supply health care for everyone. But what's really scary about this Obamacare more than anything else is what's next down the pike. It's now mandatory that you need to get health insurance. The next step is the RFID chip that they're going to be putting in your finger underneath your skin somewhere that's going to really hold a lot of valuable information pertaining to you, like your whole entire health history, your bank accounts, your practical life. Whatever you're doing in your life is going to be recorded. Your worth is going to be in this chip. And so this is some way that they can control you. And then from there, they can really get control over a central computer system, and they can send you frequencies and do all kinds of things that can harm your health where you get really, really sick. So there's another way for them to be able to control us through having this chip, which, as everybody knows, a lot of people are getting their pets chipped. Well, imagine now people being chipped, and I'm sure there are already some people like that.
This is what's happening right now in the military. The big hype in the military arena is chipping the soldiers so that they can track the soldiers and follow them when they're in danger and allegedly retrieve them if they become endangered. Mm-hmm. So this is something that is advancing. Jane, do you know anything about the microchip and VeriChip, it's called, is the company that produces them, and they're small enough to be injected via vaccinations?
I just know that that was also part of the swine flu vaccine campaign, as far as I could see, that this vaccine was supposed to be administered with special needles, which all had their own barcode. And so they allowed the authorities or the database to see who had got what vaccine or what which because these needles were unusually large, and many people thought that they had a chip within them. Certainly the computer database had been so arranged that they could have kept all the information about who had got what chip during this pandemic vaccine in a central place. So I think that's, you're absolutely right, that's an ongoing agenda to try and chip us all. Here in Austria, dogs are chipped. Every dog owner has to have a chip. And so in Switzerland, too, I think this is just they're trying to now transfer this to human beings.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They have that same thing here. And the only way not to get your dog chipped is for the dog not to have a run-in with the Humane Society. We have actually a little dog that ran away, and I went to look for it, and it wound up at the Humane Society, and it was only there for about 5 minutes when I went to see if it was there, and they told me, well, yes, your dog is here, and you're just in time because we just gave your dog 9 vaccinations and a chip. And I'm like, geez, you guys waste no time. Siri, remember that happened?
I do. It's a sad and sick thing.
It's awful. They waste no time in getting your animals chipped and vaccinated, just like they do with people. It's going to come down to the same thing, and every child that's born is going to have to be chipped. And that's what it's going to come down to. That's why it's best not to have your child in a hospital anymore. Do it at home. And birth certificates, I don't even think you should get them, because if you get a birth certificate, the next thing you're going to have to get the chip as well, because they won't give you the birth certificate unless you get the chip.
Things are becoming extremely fascist here in the United States, Jane. And what we've been actually discovering as a result of doing research for our litigation that includes the co-defendants Alex Jones and David Icke, I'm sure you know David Icke from London. The reality is that Google, which is one of the co-defendants, and SoftLayer, these are the two largest ISPs, or internet service providers. These guys actually have a hideous history of supporting neo-Nazism and fascism and terrorist organizations. And what we've discovered over the last several days in researching is that Google actually has in place the types of computer data collection, such as what is called the spiders that go through your computer, jump off of spam mail, and go through your computer and actually report back to the central database everything that you like. All of your past history in searches is accumulated. That from that, they assess what your attitudes are regarding certain aspects of the market and commercial opportunities.
How much money you have in your bank account?
Well, that's another thing that they have increasingly, and that's actually what they're actually stating with regard to why they want to microchip the people in the healthcare agenda, is they want them to have access to the funds in case they go beyond what the allowances are. So the co-payments for the insurers are made from the bank withdrawals directly from the patients, and they need to have that on a microchip, they're claiming, in order to administer this program appropriately. So all of these are gross concerns today, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I believe that vaccinations are the primary genocidal weapons, and I believe that combining the two, a vaccination capability with a microchipping capability and a data collection through these electronic systems that are now easily stored on the microchips, the nanochips, as well as these huge, like Promise Software type of mega computer databases. Ultimately, you have the elements of the most advanced fascism that the planet has ever seen.
Well, that certainly is true, Len. And I'm talking about Nazis. I mean, in my case in 2010, one of the people who tried to confine me was a researcher called Lucas Kenner, who worked for the Ludwig Boltzmann Institute, which has a very clear history connected with the Nazis. I mean, this was an institute which gave Heinrich Gross, one of the Nazi eugenicist doctors, his own institution in the 60s. And sitting on the board of this Ludwig Boltzmann Institute are bankers, industrialists, media czars, little Austrian equivalent. And obviously you have to ask yourself why this Lucas Kenner, a doctor who was perfectly capable of reading all the evidence and the documents that I presented to argue my case about the vaccine, was so in such a hurry to confine me in 2010. He never met me. There was no real personal motive. He was clearly under instructions from some higher power. And who are these higher powers? Well, if it's connected with the Ludwig Boltzmann Institute, you can see a direct connection here with the Nazis who of the Second World War and their experiments on people. So that's quite clear in my case.
You know, this reminds me of what happened to us and the people that were attacking us that were white supremacists and racists. and
one of them was attacking her, actually. One of the Nazis was attacking her.
Well, let's talk about that in a second. I want to just mention historically that the evolution of the Nazism and the racial hygiene program started in New York at the Cold Spring Harbor Labs, funded by Rockefellers and Rothschilds and the Carnegies and the Vanderbilts. The very wealthy had a desire to reduce populations of immigrants that were risking labor unions and strikes. And so that this was very important. They advanced genetics and biological weaponry as one of the capabilities for reducing those risks to the status quo. And Hitler actually got his racial hygiene program via the Rockefeller funding of the Institute for Eugenics and Anthropology, Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for Eugenics, Anthropology, and Human Heredity in pre-Nazi Germany. And today in the United States, in the newspapers today that are talking about the new Obamacare, the principal promoters are the officers of Kaiser Permanente, which in the United States is the chief vaccination testing facility for the global drug cartel. Now, given that, Sherry, and I believe you, Jane, have something in common with a man by the name of Dr. Truot, who's neither a doctor, he's a fraud, but what's fascinating to me is that he is leading a group of white supremacists that actually promote the ideology of the Ku Klux Klan. It's called Christian Identity. It's neither Christian, it has nothing to do with Christianity. It's the direct opposite of Christianity, but that's part of the psychological operation and the twist to make you believe that this is actually Christian. And where this doctor is a fraud, he doesn't have any legitimate degrees. He calls himself Dr. Truot, and that's not even his name. It's Alma Siot, and he's not a doctor. So I wonder if you could share something. What's your experience with Dr. Truot, Jane?
Well, really terrible, Len. I mean, when I began this in 2009, I wasn't as aware of COINTELPRO and how it operated, and I quickly realized Dr. Truot is one of the most, frankly, evil people I've ever come across. Once he called me on his radio show, and he began reciting parts of the Satanic Mass. And there was no real reason for it. It just seemed to be something that he wanted to broadcast. And he vilified me, he defamed me, he was extremely virulent in his attacks against me very early on for no apparent reason. Theoretically, we're working for the same cause, but all of a sudden, as soon as people start to listen to me or I get a bit more publicity, this guy just turned 180 degrees and began defaming me and harassing me. And that's a typical COINTELPRO tactic. I agree, we're dealing here with people who use the word Christianity and have no concept even of what God means. They're just seeing other people in terms of animals, biology, and deciding this little group of people is worth more on some spurious biological level than the other groups of people, and absolutely ignoring the basic commandment of religion, Christianity, of all religions, which is to treat other beings, other human beings with dignity and encourage life. So we're dealing here with Satanism, with an evil, destructive force that refuses to recognize the preciousness of life and that it comes from God, and only God can take away what he has given.
Exactly. Well, I have a take on Dr. Truot. I never said this about anyone before, Jane, but I think somehow he could be some sort of a clone. He doesn't seem human to me. There's a lacking of human consciousness. It's almost like I call them mental zombies. He has no consciousness, and he can go from nice to really, really, really demonic in a matter of seconds. It's like a switch.
It's like a fractured personality, you know, sub-personalities. They have different people that they identify with different skills. And I think that we've seen that in a number of Truot males. And not to make him the feature of this conversation, because he doesn't deserve that, but there is this concept of taking a legitimate whistleblower and defaming them, discrediting them after you become friends with them. And that's happened to me a number of times. You just mentioned that it's happened to you, Jane. And I think that that's part of the agenda, is the infiltration of the organizations that are making a difference on the planet, as well as the infiltration of whistleblowers and leaders, activists, that are making a difference and telling the truth that the big pharmaceutical companies don't want to be told.
And that's a big signature of COINTELPRO, is the lies that they create. And that's what this Dr. Truat did with you, Len. He created a bunch of lies. You didn't even know him, and he created them.
Yeah, actually, Jane, now recall, you were actually sucked into this whole scam of me allegedly being a Knight of Malta. That was a creation, actually a co-creation between Dr. Truat and this fellow Greg Zemanski, alias Eric Samuelson, and that they did that to discredit me among the fans that I had in the Patriot community.
And they wanted to separate us from, or Len from you, Jane, because the work was so similar and you guys together aligned were just way too powerful for these globalists to have to deal with. And so what they do is they send these minions, these low-life, grassroots wannabe activists to come in and try to separate, divide, and conquer the people. And that's exactly what happened. It was just, you know, unfortunately, it was unfortunate that that's what they did to, you know, our relationship when we were starting out in the beginning, Jane, but then we realized it together, like, oh my God, what's going on here? You know, this is what's going on. And, you know, as soon as we did, it was like, you know, then it was all brought into the light. But this is how they operate, and they've been doing this for a really long time. I mean, we're not the only victims. We talk to other victims all the time of the same group of people, maybe, you know, not exactly the same names, but the same organization that was started under J. Edgar Hoover, under Ted Gunderson. Ted Gunderson worked under Hoover and then created this COINTELPRO movement.
The Church of Satan, the Ted Gunderson was, is married to Diana Rively, the ex-wife of Anton LaVey, who started the Church of Satan. These are the literally lacking consciousness, lacking spirit of these individuals who are attacking people, heroes like Jane, like Sherry, like myself, people out there who are trying to do great work and save lives. We are constantly under attack by the trolls, they call them, on the internet.
And one thing to know about the legal complaint that we filed, Dr. Truat is a co-defendant in that legal complaint. And really what happened is that if they had set him up with a natural health store just like Len's, back around,
yeah, so
right after you created yours.
So it's a competition, but it's also like what Jane was, you were talking about the vaccinations and the risks of viral mutations, and I came out with the book years ago called Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, that has been a huge seller and a big, big effort to support the vaccine risk awareness movement. They created then, with Alex McGowan Studer and Truat, they created labvirus.com, of course, to take the public attention off of what we were doing and give this fraudulent substitute. So that's way the psychological operation of COINTELPRO advances.
And then they use educate-yourself.org to just exploit their propaganda. And people need to know what sites are COINTELPRO, because there are a lot of them out there. And sometimes they do offer information that seems legitimate. A lot of times it's even sometimes 80% truth with all the other stuff mixed in, so you don't know what to believe. And that's really the hardest part that people have to deal with, is what's, you know, who do I listen to? Who do I believe in? Don't believe in anyone. That's what I say. Just go and do your own research. Take the information that you have and find out the facts through doing your own research. And that's what we do. And that's what we've done. And I know that's what Jane does as well.
Yeah, I mean, certainly I learned a lot through this whole campaign, and I was a victim, as you say, at the very beginning of Truat's scams. He presented himself as a friend, as a reliable person who was able to tell me who was working for COINTELPRO, and he singled you out, Len. And it took me a lot of time to realize, well, it didn't take me that long, but because, that you actually doing good work. And for me, that is the bottom line. Who's actually doing good work, protecting people's lives or whatever? And that's the criteria I judge them by. And true art is just destructive. He just creates these mirror sites, these shadow sites to deflect attention from your work. He immediately defames you to anybody who emerges on the scene and who could be a potential ally. He doesn't do anything constructive, true art. He's always in the limelight. He's promoted by this network of alternative radio shows, Bill Deagle and so on. And so he gets a lot of attention that he wouldn't get if it was just a question of looking at what he actually does contribute to the cause of informing people.
Exactly. And Bill Deagle, by the way, works very, very closely with True Art. He actually, when they go and they do the little smear campaigns, we notice that they call it the Deagle team when they're putting out their YouTube videos that try to exploit, or smear us. So I know that they work very, very close together. They interview each other all the time. And if you ever listen to their shows, a lot of it is just a lot of like mumbo jumbo mixed in with some facts or some truth. And it just gets really boring very quickly. But you're right. This is a group of very, very evil people, Jane. Dr. Truot is probably, I would say, I've told this to Len before, he's got to be the top of the list to me as the most evil person maybe I've ever come across.
You know, and Jane, like you, I was a victim of the same type of manipulation. I was good friends with Ted Gunderson. I had no idea he was involved in the child sex trafficking network and the human slavery and the drugs for arms operations that were ongoing under the Bush cartel. I didn't have any clue he was a double agent. And I thought that he was my friend, and I believed a lot of what he told me. And gee whiz, it's so sad that we have infiltrated into the activist organizations these trolls.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all about lies and deceiving people, deceiving them through the mainstream media, deceiving them through this false flag alternative media, and deceiving them even in their personal relationships. It's deceit, lies, and fraud. And I think we're moved through a phase in human history where all these layers of deceit are just being stripped off, and people can see more and more the nature of how our political and financial and medical systems are working, that they're based largely on lies and on force. Obamacare is all about forcing people to take medical products that they wouldn't take of their free will because they're just not proven to help anybody. So it's a terrible period in our history. But I really hope, and I do see a point of where we're getting clearer and clearer about what's going on and people are making sensible decisions. I think it's going to come to a big conflict, and eventually humanity will be released from these chains of lies and delusions.
Yeah, we were talking about that today, actually, on an earlier radio show. The opportunity exists for people who love the Creator and love Jesus, love Yeshua from their hearts, this whole connection of divine community where we are brothers and sisters of the divine family. And the reality is that there's protection in there. And this whole lying and deceit and deception and illusions that are created by media manipulations, we have to see that as virtually satanic. And there's this great spiritual warfare going on between Creator and Satan in the spiritual realm that's here manifesting in Babylon, if you will, on the physical realm. And that we believe, like you, that as we advance now, as we get rid of these layers of deception and the deceivers, and they're exposed, then ultimately we can realize that the primary and fundamental protection lies in this divine relationship that we have most powerfully implemented in our lives through faith, through prayer, and through community collaboration such as this now, where we can come as brothers and sisters and say, hey, look, we were fooled in the past. Let us not be fooled, present or future. Let us get together and let's see how we can do something significant for humanity, saving lives with the truth and giving alternatives to the poisons that are being advanced under the guise of public health.
Jane, don't you, and I know you agree with me on this one, is don't you think that there's a lot of people out there in the truth movement right now that people think they are like us, or they're working for the same, you know, agenda of really helping people and really wanting peace on earth? They seem that way, but they're really not. They're the deceptors. And so sometimes people will come to us and they'll say, well, why can't you all just get along? They're actually saying the same exact things as you say. And we say, yeah, they are, but you really have to look at what else they're not saying, or you have to look at them not offering any solutions, or there's never any light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, there's a lot of factors to look at when people come to us and say, why can't you all just get along? And that sometimes upsets me when they say that, and I know it shouldn't, but I think a lot of times people are saying it not because they're working with the other side, but because they're just completely ignorant to the fact that not everybody, even though they seem like they're like us, they're not working for the same agenda.
Very true, Sherry. I think that the globalists know that most people like harmony. They like the idea of people getting along and having a relationship, and they become instantly disturbed by quarrels and arguments, and they switch off. So if they can create an environment where people like True Art suddenly turn against me, or persuades me, manipulates me to turn against you, and others become aware of all these disturbances, they switch off. They've deflected the attention from the facts and the documents to personal relationships. They've made people feel uncomfortable, disconcerted, and they're blocking their communication channels. So I think that's a tactic they use all the time. Just to go back to what Len was saying, I think we are stripping away all the layers of deceit and getting to the core of reality. And I agree with Len. I think the core of our reality is that there is a God. And I was just reading in the newspapers and the media in the UK that the God particle, the so-called God particle, has actually now been more or less found by CERN. So we even have a sort of scientific basis now for saying that there is this intelligence, this universal intelligence ordering our universe and penetrating our spirit and guiding us. And I think this is going to be the ultimate truth which emerges from all these lies, that we're not alone, God is with us, we don't have anything to fear, we don't have to fear the globalists, and we don't have to fear death.
We are protected. I applaud that.
By this divine relationship.
Beautiful, beautifully said, sister. That is awesome. You know, Sherry and I have had a number of discussions about 528 hertz frequency, which I am advancing and has a tremendous amount of support in the scientific realm for advancing that as the frequency of love. And if you understand intelligent design by the fact that all the botanical world chose chlorophyll to resonate to, that's 528 nanometers, and that's linked to the sound of 528 hertz frequency, and that's the heart of what's called the musical mathematical matrix of creation. And if you understand that is being administered by virtually a master conductor, master composer of the universal orchestra, constantly singing love songs to uplift humanity and sustain us. And it's just like this magnificent time in history where we have this capability to advance this technology divine into creating peace on earth. We can recreate all of the energy systems. We can create free energy. We could go back to Tesla technology and advance it with the fundamental mathematics of the ancients. We're talking about Plato, Pythagoras. This is the real Da Vinci Code. And so given that this is the primary reason they started to attack me, my name went on that list, Jane. We have two reasons for that. Sherry shares one. I share the one about the Knights of Malta. They put me on that list in 2007 because that's the year that I published the book, Love, the Real Da Vinci Code, and decrypted the real Da Vinci Code that has everything to do with proving creationism, proving we have a creator, proving the creator loves us tremendously, wants to sustain us, wants to uplift us constantly for his ever giving, forgiving, forgiving, forever giving, everything from air and water, the things that sustain us, and that man has fallen off of the basic fundamental truths. You know, man's laws simply have to reflect the Creator's laws. And if we start to legislate and require human behavior based on man's laws that reflect God's laws, we'll be out of this mess in no time. And so that's one of the things that I celebrate currently, is this wonderful understanding of how the music can set us free. Literally, the 528 love frequency, which is why we're putting all this money and time into 528radio.com. You know, we've been supporting it for years now. It hasn't made one penny. You know, we've put tens of thousands of dollars into it. Why? Because it makes sense. If we're going to get out of this mess, we need to open humanity's hearts. We need to reconnect ourselves to the divine creator that sustains not only we the people, but everything in the universe. And once we do that, and we basically come into harmony with divinity, that's where we will have the opportunity to really do justice to our power to be co-creators of a better world.